the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In this recording, Dave looks into God's comfort. The main reading is John chapter 16.
Just want to, as we look on Sunday, when the Lord, we'll look at that next week, when the Lord corrected and confronted his disciples, and he is a God that does that, we said the first thing he did was bring the comfort. He spoke peace into their hearts because I've done many reasons. He knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Of course, in their state at the time, what did the Bible tell us? They were fearful, troubled, disturbed. Unbelief was permeating through them to hardness of heart, wasn't it? That's where it was heading. And very difficult then with when you all those emotions, your mind is in a turmoil, to actually think clearly sometimes and feel the correction of the Lord. So that I would have been looking at this part of God's character, the God who comforts. Because the Bible's very clear. And again, I was just talking to someone the other day, and again, depending on what you've been taught and what kind of thinking you have, it can really mess you up. And he was saying, well, I can't understand why problems and difficulties happen to Christians. I said, well, it depends what thinking you have. If you've been taught that everything's going to go well, and if you've been at the prosperity gospel so imbalanced that you think everything's going to go well and nothing's going to go wrong and you're never going to have any difficulties or hardships, you're in trouble, because when it does come along, you're going to say, well, what did nothing much of the Lord. And what did he just say? In this world you will have the word tribulation. That means pressure. You will have disappointments. You will have disturbances. You will have delays. We looked at all those things. You will have those. Why? Because that's the only way you can produce fruit. That's the only way you can get stronger. See, I don't turn up at the gym and pick up 200 kilograms, do I? I do. Not. How do I go there? You build your resistance. Resistance builds muscle. And that takes pain. And I always remember that lovely illustration of the man. And it's a big rock in front of him. And the Lord says, now you push it, push it, push it. And he's pushing, he's pushing, he's pushing. And he day after day after day. And he's not budging it. And he comes to the end of it, and he said, Lord, what are you doing? He said, I didn't expect you to move it, but in the process, look at the muscles you produce, look at the strength, look at the perseverance, look at the sort of the stamina you produced. Remember, God knows what he's doing. We don't, and as we said before, we can go into that self-pity mode, then that goes into stagnancy, didn't it? What do we say? Play the student, not the victim. Lord, what are you trying to do? I'll follow you, I'll trust you. But one thing we can guarantee is the Lord will be with us. And the comfort, this wonderful word comfort. Well, let me give you a dictionary, it's not the biblical definition, but the dictionary definition is consolation, relief in affliction, soothing grief, giving ease. Old Testament word comfort means to breathe out, to sigh. And that it's very interesting, because when, if you've ever seen a situation and you sighed, haven't you? Oh dear, look at that situation. And you're moved, aren't you? You're moved to, I wish I could do something, I wish I could help. Thankfully, when God sighs, he can do something, because he's the creator. There's pity, there's consolation. New Testament word is where we get the word paraclete or paraclesis. Para, come alongside, beside, ecclesis, to call to one side. Another word we find, that was the main word, but another word is again a para word, but it means to speak closely to somebody. I like that word as well. That's our God. He's called to one side. Now, in the court of justice, that means he's an advocate. That means he's a lawyer. That means he comes alongside and defends us. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit's will and the Bible says, Jesus, I'll send you another counselor, another comforter, just like me. And then in 1 John 2, we see Jesus, he is our advocate. Same word. Same word. Again, so we understand that Jesus, Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, he said the same one. And he is the one who stands by us pleads our case, a comforter, a succorer, someone who's with us. And that's a wonderful thing. Straight away, God, that's God's character. That's God's character. He will stand by us. He will be with us, irrespective of how we feel. Because the devil will always come and say, well, Dave, look at that. Look at that situation you're in. And we've got to be careful, because lots of my situations are brought on by me, haven't they? As we talked earlier, we talked about Samson. I want this, I want that. And of course, he brought all those things on himself, didn't he? Amazing how God even used those to for his purposes and his will. Here's our first verse, Psalm 23, we know it, of course, 1 to 4.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, again, that's... again, our understanding of comfort can be a little bit... depending on how we see things, can be a little bit soft sometimes. Now, we'll read the next verse. There's that issue where God does put his arms around us. But comfort can be just a prod, can't it? Come on, come on. Depending on what we need. The rod and the staff, remember the rod and the staff were to protect, to count, to correct as well, wouldn't it? To clout them. And the staff was to support, but also it was a long piece of it. So if the sheep was getting out of the thing, it could be 6-7 feet long. He could poke him in the behind and get him back into shape, couldn't he? So again, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They direct me in the comfort. That's what he does. Of course, the foundation of it, he's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. It's the Lord asking him to be our shepherd. And of course, what does a shepherd do? He protects, he provides, he directs. And if we will but follow him. Remember, we know and understand those shepherds in those days. Sheepdogs came behind him and the shepherd went in front and they followed him. We've seen that. We've got pictures of that. How about this one? Isaiah 66.
For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed. On her sides shall you be carried, and be dandled on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem.
That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? Because, again, God knows what he's doing. When he set up family, understood... we are different. Some of us who are married, we understand we are different, don't we? Women and men are different. And when a child is upset, who do they run to generally? A mother. Mothers are comforted. Fathers are not bad, but really mums, isn't it? Henry wasn't very happy this morning. I said, come here. It made it worse, isn't it? Mum had to step in, or Nan, of course, Mum, and the maternal instincts of the kid, and give him a cushion. We won very, won very well. And we understand that, didn't it? If we fell down, we wouldn't go to our dads for concern and comfort. He'd say, well, don't do it again, isn't it? Although Mum, she'd get the TCP out, so I wish I went to Dad, actually, sometimes. I'd say, TCP would go on the greys or on the thing. Hey, what are you doing? And you did the roof with TCP. Can you remember TCP?
Just about.
Oh, yeah. Poof. But we understand. And you see, God is telling us his characteristics. He's the one who comforts. He's the giver. He is the importance of being in his presence and the importance of being and knowing him. Again, we love the Psalms because the psalmist is just expressing how he's feeling, what is he going through, difficulties, joys. He's on the top of the mountain some days, isn't he? David and the other psalmists, and then they on the bottom of the valley, and and he's complaining about this, and he's complaining about that, he's complaining about the enemies, and he's having to go. But I love his declaration of who the Lord is, because when we get into the Lord's presence, he's the one who comes alongside. He's the one who maybe lifts us up, maybe the one, he just takes us back down to our knees, that needs a bit more work to be done in our character. Psalm 86.
That you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. O turn to me and have mercy on me. Give me strength to your servant. And save the son of your maiden servant. Show me a sign for good that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me.
Yeah. David could say that time and time again, Lord, you've helped me, you've been there for me, you've aided me, and you've put your arms around me when I needed them. You've consoled me. Psalm 71, we looked at that just a few years ago, the old man's psalm, didn't we? Where he gives a personal testimony through his life. Starts off with, in you, O Lord, I've taken refuge. And of course, then he just lovely descriptions of who the Lord is. Strong tower, rock, fortress, a strong refuge. I direct, and then he goes on to say, Lord, you've shown me many troubles and distresses, but you've revived me again. Hallelujah. Verse 21, you've increased my honor, my greatness, and you turn to comfort me. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. So we've seen much, but the Lord has been there, and the Lord will console and guide. That's his character, to come alongside. He's not left us alone. And Paul... sometimes we see Paul, don't we? Like, we see some of these Bible characters as you know, we distant from us, alien to what we go through. But thankfully, Paul tells us exactly what he was going through, his emotions and the difficulties he went through, and we will never get to any of those difficulties, will we? No one's going to, if we get to prison, but no one's going to try and put us to death unless we go out to be missionaries somewhere. No one's going to stone us. No one's going to, everywhere we go, to abuse us or reject us. But he went through all this, and this is what he said. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 11.
Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforted us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those which are in trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring and the same sufferings which also ye suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that ye are all partakers of the suffering, and so shall ye be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of this trouble which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth from the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, and he will yet deliver us. Ye are also helping us together by prayer, praying for us, for that gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons may be given by many on our behalf.
Yeah, a lot going on there, isn't there? But he said, that's God of all comfort, Father of all compassion. That's our God. That's his heart. That's who he is. That's his character. When we go through difficulties, which we will, we begin to see it. And there's lots of reasons why we go through for our purging, purifying, our perseverance, and all those kind of things, pointing things out in our life. Also to see some of the sufferings that the Lord went through. We're sharing in his sufferings, aren't we? But also to receive of the Lord. The greater the problem, the greater the miracle, the greater the need, and the greater the Lord will pour into our life. And then he says, once we see our need, and we share in the comfort and the grace of God, we can share it. We can know it, show it. And so it's wonderful. Nothing greater than coming alongside someone and saying, look, I know exactly what you're going through. This is, so the Lord help me. Mm. I knew the comfort and the grace of the Lord. And that's powerful. See, when we can do that into people's lives, they listen. A testimony is far greater than some great argument, isn't it? Now, where there's a point where we've got to defend the faith and attack nonsense, but a wonderful testimony. This is what I was. This is where I was. This is what the Lord did for me. It's beyond argument, isn't it? Because it's a personal testimony. And Paul said, this is where I was. And I wanted to know where I was. I was fearful. I was overwhelmed. But the comfort of the Lord was great. Flooded over my life. So what I learned is this. That in me, I am nothing, but in him, I am everything. I learned to trust in him. Mm-hmm. And again, he put his hope in him, but he also encouraged the believers there. Help of your prayers. Amazing. So again, we forget. He encouraged them, verse 11, your prayers. The prayer is so important. That aids us, that helps us. That's why it's good to, when we do pray, to listen to the Lord. And it's amazing when we pray and certain people will come across our mind, across our heart. That's the Lord, isn't it? Pray for people. If you wake up in the middle of the night, perhaps the Lord is waking you up. Or it might not be just that bad cheese you had before you went to bed. Begin to pray. Lord, why am I awake this time of night? Who do I need to pray for? Is there someone I need to pray for? And it's amazing sometimes, isn't it? And we know many stories of that. So our prayers, but what we receive from the Lord, we are to share the comfort and the grace of God, the one who comes alongside. Thankfully, that's him. That's who he is, his presence. Thankfully, not his justice, but his word. His word reflects his presence, of course. Matthew 5, 3 to 4.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Well, we did a bit of a series on Sunday morning, but listen to me, there's our foundation. We recognize who we are. Poor in spirit. Poor, this is who I am before the Lord. He is holy, I am not. He's the only one can save. I have no help or hope of saving myself. And what does that cause me to do? There's my foundation, blessed are the poor in spirit. Then I mourn. Lord, I am such a sinner. And we mourn over the sin of our land. Now, again, that's why the Lord said, lift them up in prayer, because, you know, we're good at mourning about them, moaning, but not mourning, but to mourn, to grieve over our land. Oh, Lord, help us, have mercy on us when we see what's happening. But then when the mourning comes, there's comfort, isn't it? Blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted. See, when we see our need, when we see that we need him, he is the great God who says, yes, here it is, all that you need. I'll supply. I'll come alongside you. I'll come around and about you. I will lift you if needs be. But he's the one who comes along, the call to one side, the paraclete, the comforter, the encourager, the one who exhorts us. His word does that. That's what we have it. Romans 15, 1 to 6.
We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbour for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so the word, these were written for what? For our instruction, to teach us, to bring perseverance to us. When we say, well, I've had enough, and look at this, and look at that, and like the Bible, I love the Lord, he just says, you're in a lot of difficulty. Well, then look at Job. Have a look at Paul, what he went through. Have a look at David, what he went through. Have a look at these men or women that went through all these difficulties. It's for our instructions, for our perseverance, and for our comfort. We see how the Lord came around those people in his word. And if he's the same God, he doesn't change. He's our Father. He comes alongside. And that gives us hope. It also changes our thinking. It says, now be patient with one another, because the same comfort you received, they need. Now, the issues may be different from yours, and that's why we sometimes are not so gracious with other people. How can they do that? And because that doesn't affect us. But other things that affect us don't affect them, and they can say the same about us. Be patient with one another. Ultimately, what are we to do? To glorify God, he said. Glorify him. How do we do that? We know his word. We know his character. We receive all that he has for us. Bless the Lord. And we have his word. And we love Jesus. And when we see Jesus walking and talking to people, the words that came out of his mouth, grace and truth. Now, as we'll see next week, he did confront people. Dear me, didn't he? But the comfort he brought, didn't he? Don't worry. Be still. Daughter. And all that, and be of good cheer. All these to bring the comfort and the grace of the Lord. That's what he did. And then these verses he gave us. Again, very important verses that tell us who he is and what he's about to do and what he's done for us. John 14, 15, 18.
If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide in with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you.
I will not leave you as orphans, you see, so he's not just giving us his word and said, there we are, Dave, get on with it, follow that. Now, he could have, no problem, and he'd be absolutely right to do that, because that's his word. But he says, look, I know you can't do it on your own. Your heart is degenerate. I need to give you a new heart. I need to come into you to be a helper. And I want to fill you to overflowing, of course. Help us to be filled day by day by day. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the one, the another, just like me. Again, that's why, again, when we could talk to the cults, you can say, well, who's this Holy Spirit? A lot of them will say, well, he's a four. Wait a minute now. How come he's got a personal pronoun? How was Jesus calling him he? And why did he say another like me will come? No. He's a person. He's the one who leads us. He's the one who's directing us. He's the one who's speaking to us, prompting us. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who comes alongside us. And so often points us to the word, isn't he? When we're worried about this, and we look in there, and he just drops a word that we need to get into the word, or we can't put it into us. And sometimes he puts a word into our hearts that we don't want to hear, doesn't he? like praise the Lord in all circumstances. I remember putting that into my so that's not very funny, and I don't like that word at this present moment because I'm upset. Something upset me, I suspect. I wasn't too happy about it. And then the Holy Spirit does that, doesn't he? Why? Because he's in the business of changing us. Praise the Lord in circumstances. Or go and say to Jackie, you're sorry, Lord, but I'm not wrong. I am right. Doesn't matter, Dave. Go and say sorry anyway. No. Yes. It's a good bit of wisdom there. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit. Read these verses from that. This verse from Acts 9, verse 31.
Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in fear of the Lord.
A lot of persecution in that time, wouldn't it? Because the Lord had to, again, remember, why did the Lord do it? Because the Lord was doing a mighty work in Jerusalem, and the revival was going out, but they were quite comfortable staying there, preaching to the Jews, gathering in, and the Lord says, well, right, it's time to go. I didn't say Jerusalem, did I? I said Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. So because they weren't moving, the Lord said, okay, I'll get you moving now. And he sent a bit of persecution, and off they went and began to preach just to Jews. Then the Bible says they began to preach to everybody. And then the Bible in that Acts 9 says there were peace. They were strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and comforted by Holy Spirit. And they multiplied. Oh, what a beautiful picture. Peace of the Lord, strengthened by him, living in the fear of the Lord, which is what we haven't got these days. Not in the world, but certainly we haven't got it in the church, have we? Comforted by the Holy Spirit. Listen, talking to someone today. And a lovely woman. I've talked to her many times in an Anglican church, and she preached the gospel, but she's saying they had a minister in, and a woman minister who came, and when I speak partner, I'm not going to call them wife because they're not, and the baby, and she said, oh, preach the gospel. I said, she said, oh yeah, but you've got to live and let live today. I said, not in the pulpit. I said, not in it. And that's what we've done is, if we live in the fear of the Lord, however difficult, however, that's the fear of the Lord brings purity, brings holiness, and says, no, wait a minute. We don't live and let live. Live and let live takes you where? Straight away from the Lord to hell. That's what happened. I did it my way, innit? The old song. Yeah, you can do it your way, but it's the wrong way. It seems right to a man, but it ends in... But there's the lovely picture. The living in the fear and the comfort of the Holy Spirit all around. And that's why we come to the house of God. Because the people of God, not just the word of God, the presence of God, but fellowship, the importance of fellowship, because we are to bring comfort to one another. Let's read why God has given the prophetic word. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, 4, and 31.
But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for the strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in the tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged.
There we are. Same word, encouraged, means comforted. Same word, just changed the word there. Prophetic word brings what is it should do. Edification, to build, to exhort, to push on, to come, to comfort, to call to one side, to speak. Those two words that we have, to come alongside and to speak closely to one. Nothing like a prophetic word, tongues interpretation, where the Lord actually speaks closely to us. Whereas the word can be preached and it can be a prophetic word while we preach, I'm sure of that. But when it's so, it's the Lord, you feel the Lord speaking just to you, to your situation. No one knows about it, no one understands what you're going through, but that's why the prophetic words do encourage one another. That's why, of course, fellowship is absolutely vital. But the Lord tells us not just to receive it, but to do it. He says, no, get alongside, come alongside one another, lift one another up. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11 to 15.
Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you were doing. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are older you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else.
So he said, comfort one another, edify one another, build one another up. In fact, just in the chapter before, he's talking about the second coming and talking about being taken home with the Lord. Bless you. He said, comfort one another with these words, he said. These are wonderful words. Hope, heaven is our home, destination. That encourages us, doesn't it? Again, it takes our mind and our heart off the here and now and all the difficulties and the problems, and they can build up and wash over us. But again, we come to the Lord, who is the one who comes alongside us and speaks into our hearts. And he speaks through us, doesn't he? Why? Because we are his. What about these verses? Obviously, this man had a ministry in this. And some of them are gifted at encouraging, aren't we? Some of us are not great at encouraging for much at all, sadly. But that's how it is. But if you are an encourager, get alongside and really encourage. And amazing, sometimes we can say, oh, no, they don't need to hear that, they don't need to be encouraged, they don't need... Yeah, let me tell you, we all need someone to come alongside, say, how are you doing? Come along. And as I said the other day, when we see people drifting off, now you can say, well, Dave will follow them up. He does. But I tell you what, as I said before, nothing greater than you ringing them or you coming alongside, because then they think, oh. It's not just the leader. Perhaps the body is it missing me. Ephesians 6, 21-22.
But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother of the prime minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts.
He uses Tychicus again in Colossians 4:8. So Tychicus, obviously, he calls him a dear brother, faithful servant, faithful minister. I'm going to send you to tell you about me, but also bring that comfort, to bring that ministry of the grace of God come alongside you. Barnabas was another one, wasn't he? He came alongside, and when they wouldn't help me with Paul, they said, we not having him in here. Yeah? We know what he's like. He's just trying to wheedle his way in to find out who's here, and then he's going, and Barnabas comes alongside, oh, wait a minute now. He's had a real experience of the Lord. He's been really, truly saved, and he brings him alongside. So we're called to be the bringers of comfort and the grace of God alongside those people. And he was talking in 2 Corinthians, and of course in Corinthians they had some issues, didn't they? Dear. there was a church and a half with much problems, and he got stuck into them, didn't he? And he said, look, if they are brothers or sisters and they are living like this and they're not repentant, shift them. But then he says, wait a minute now, okay, if there's repentance, bring them in, forgive them, and come alongside them. Yeah? So he said, deal with it, but if they are repentant, bring them back. Come alongside them. If they're not repentant, well, the Lord's got more work to be done on them. But he says, again, the same word, forgive, come alongside, bring comfort, bring exhortation, bring the comfort of the Lord to them. Another verse, 2 Corinthians 7, 5 to 7.
For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever.
The Lord brought comfort. Now, the Lord brings comfort, again, so many ways, by presence, his presence, by his word, but by bringing other people. He brought Titus along, and that's what Paul needed at that moment. He brought him along, and with not just a comfort, but with an encouraging word from the Corinthians. How was Paul? We're concerned about Paul. And your concern about me, fear, what did he say? No rest, no relief, troubles all around, controversies, battles outside, and fears within. He was honest, wasn't he? Fears within, yet the comfort of the Lord by bringing of Titus and the report that you were interested in me filled me with joy. Isn't it amazing? And we forget not just the importance, but the vitalness of gathering and fellowship in church. Why? Because isn't it amazing how the coming together, the encouragement of somebody, the word from somebody, the prayer from somebody can lift us. Hallelujah. And that's why we've seen it, been in church all our lives, and some of us, where people drift away, they stop coming. It's not too long. They've gone far from the Lord and other things have taken its place. Why? Because something has to fill that void. But thankfully tonight, the Lord is the Lord who comforts, comes alongside, lifts us up. As we'll see next week, oh, he is a great God. And he loves us too much to leave us stay where we are. But the first thing he does is to square us up, to bring us that peace, bring us that that sort of balance in our lives now to then change us and transform us. Psalm 62, again, another psalm, great psalm, call for comfort, someone called it. Finish with these verses. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from and is in him. He alone is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Ah, what a great verse. That's David, who knew exactly what he was talking about, because he went through that And he said, Lord, this is how I managed it. This is how I went through it. This is how I dealt with it. And he is now who he says he is. So comfort of the Lord, consolation, encouragement. He comes alongside. He's with us. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. And he's the one who brings what we need in every moment and every time. Bless the Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.